السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وقال تعالى الحج أشهر معلومات. وقال تعالى إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض من أربعة حرم. صدق الله العظيم. To start the discussion for this afternoon, I quoted two Quran Sharif verses. One is Surah Tawbah, para number 10. The other is Surah Al-Baqarah. I'm not sure of the ayat number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us in para number 10, indeed the counting of the months in the calendar are composed of 12 months. We all know that. And Allah is telling us, He dictated that there will be 12 months in the calendar. He did this on that particular day when He created the heavens and the earth. He also goes on to say further, from these 12 months, minha arba'atun hurum, 4 months out of the 12, Allah says, I have declared them to be very, very sacred, very holy. I'll explain just now, inshallah. Therefore, fala tadlimu fihinna anfusakum, therefore, do not engage in any oppression against yourself. Okay, that's what Allah is saying in the Quran. Now, we need to also understand, in the light of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is meant by this last part. 12 months in the calendar, we all know. Allah is saying, from these 12 months, 4 are very, very sacred, and then He is giving us an order, فَلَا تَضْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not cause oppression to yourselves. Oppression to yourself, simple meaning, do not harm yourself. Now one asks the question, which person in his right mind is going to harm himself? So let's understand again through Quran. We go to our forefather Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, go back to Quran. Allah is saying in the Quran, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Long story short, Allah is saying, Adam, you and your wife live in Jannah, do what you like, eat what you like, but don't go near this tree. If you do so, both of you will become among those who are causing harm. You'll be the zalimin. You'll be causing oppression. Now we all know the story again, that unfortunately Shaitan managed to persuade them. A lot of detail in the Quran is there as well. In passing quickly, I'm sharing with you. You'll notice as I talk, I'll be quoting Quran tidbits here and there. What am I sharing? What is the other point I want to drive across? You and I need to attach ourselves to Quran, which we are not doing. We need to understand the Quranic message. In the month of Ramadan, mashallah, I had the opportunity of spending the entire Ramadan in NMJ. And after every Tarawih, every night, I pulled out a couple of verses, Allah inspired me to discuss, and I shared with them a small account of what the Quranic message is. And I also insisted, okay, people listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy has arranged for us the Ummah, the Muslimah, to revise the entire Quran in Ramadan via Tarawih. Revise what? Revise the Quranic message. Our problem is we have failed to study the language. When Allah sent the Quran down initially, Surah Yusuf, Allah is saying, Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiya la'allakum taqilun. We send the Quran down to you in the Arabic language, so that you may understand. So we look at the origin there, what do we see? The very first recipients of the Quran were the people who knew the language, starting in Makkah Mu'azzama, and then spreading in the entire Arabian Peninsula. Here we need to record our gratitude to this great king in the Muslim Empire, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Heard this name, anybody? Raise your hand quickly. Only one, mashallah. Two. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan was a top tabi'i, he was a scholar, contemporary of Abdullah ibn Umar and the likes. Great alim. And he was among the first rulers in that particular empire to be also hafiz of Quran, mashallah. When he took over the entire empire, one wonderful thing that he did was to enforce the Arabic language as the national language of the Muslim empire. Look, Arabia is his place, theek hai. Let's come out to Africa, come on. The entire northern Africa, the likes of Sudan, Algeria, Morocco, and Egypt, etc., what language is spoken, the people? What language? Arabic. The man responsible, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Okay, oh Muslims of the world, learn the Arabic language, that will be the language, we will call it the universal language of the time. Thus they were now, the objective was to be with contact with Quran and Quranic message. Come to South Africa. When the Boers were ruling this country, three areas they enforced what language quickly? The Dutch Africans, the Cape, the Free State and the Transvaal. We the Natalians under the British, English, kala, chapter close. So it was important. So just like that here, we have to thank this man. So coming back to the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his mercy, arranged this program that learn the language, understand the Quranic message. It will be a revision all the time, inshallah. Okay? So let's come back here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Adam, if you and your wife go near this tree, you will be among the wrongdoers. You will be causing oppression to yourselves. And you and I know again, Quran tells you various places how shaitan managed to influence them. I'm not going that detail. And finally, when they did succumb to the whispers of shaitan and they ate from the tree, what happened? Immediately, two things happened. Allah's anger they felt. Number two, the clothes from the body vanished. And they're running this side, that side. And the third thing they did was when they realized, Allahu Akbar, this idiotic idiot deceived us and got us involved, Allah's disobedience, and he recalled. Allah said, if you go near this tree, you will be among the wrong doers. So up to this point, from the time they entered Jannah, in their Jannah, they enjoyed peace and tranquility. Allah is not angry at all. Allah is quite pleased with them. But the moment they went against Allah's command, what happened? They lost the peace, tranquility. Tick. And to restore that once again in their life, Quran records it. Qala Rabbana Zalamna Anfusana. Allah is saying, both of them declared together, Rabbana O Rabb Zalamna Amfusana. Indeed, we have wronged ourselves. We don't want to go further. The point I make is the meaning of this term, zulum. Allah is saying, don't make zulum against yourself in these 4 months. Does it also mean, out of the 4 we can do what we like? Definitely not. Allah is saying, these are holy months, take greater care. Okay? Excuse me. When you get involved in this kind of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be causing harm, you will lose all the peace. And Adam did lose the peace. When did Adam alayhi salam restore his peace once again? After Allah sent him here, we know the story. And there are two reports in this regard. One report says 40 years later. One report says 300 years later. Mufti Ahmad Ali Sahab, Damat Barakatum, the man who has been here many times, he was the one that I learned this from. One report 40 years, one report how many quickly? 300 years, husband and wife are apart. Allah split them apart. Now imagine the mental condition, agony, and the greatest thing that bugged them, plagued their mind, Allah is angry. Which person in his right mind will be at peace? Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, time and again, what did he? Same thing. To bring peace in your life, avoid any kind of, one word, disobedience. Khalas, end of story. And this continued until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now decided the time has now come. Not decided, decided longer. to put his plan into action. Now let me bring the two together. They have suffered enough. Let me restore once again the peace of mind, and let me now grant them what? Forgiveness. And Allah arranged it such, while they apart for so many years, Allah brings them together. Adam alayhi salam, when he came here, Sri Lanka, that was his home. Hazrat Hawa, our mother, where was she? Quickly. Jeddah. She's going in circles there, he's going that side on the island. Anyway, they brought together, and finally both of them meet in what we know today as the Maidan of what? Arafat. Come on, must speak, man. Maidan of Arafat. The day was a Friday. Listen carefully. The location Arafat. The day was a Friday. The month was Zilhijjah. And the date? No price for the answer. Quickly. 9th. Very significant. They are now together. Subhanallah. Once they join together, forget the formalities, houses, etc. Forget that. The first thing in the mind is what? Allah, we need your mercy, rahmat and forgiveness. And our Nabi is telling us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Umar ibn Khattab is the reporter, he is telling us, when they stood together, Adam alayhi salam now turns to Allah in dua. Quran records, Rabbana zalamna. That is correct. Rabbana zalamna was done immediately. But Allah left them one side. You must now suffer the consequence of your action. But so many years later, Allah wants to now shower His mercy on them. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, Alif Lam Mim says, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah placed in the heart certain words which He used to draw Allah's mercy. What are those words? Our Nabi is telling us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, keep in mind another important factor. Quran and Hadith goes together. One cannot do without the other. Quran is the text and Hadith and Sunnah is what? The detailed explanation. So Allah Nabi explained to us, what did He say? I will say those words in my own words. O Allah, we ask you forgiveness for the sake of Muhammad, whose name is next to your name. For his sake, forgive us. What happened here now? When he's about to pick up the hand and start the dua, Adam alayhi salam recalled something that he forgot all these years. When Allah put life in his body, when the eyes opened for the very first time, he's lying flat on the floor there. And when the eyes open, the first thing he sees is the arsh of Allah. Then he sees the, whatever color Allah knows, we'll say black and white. One statement, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Visualize that line now. You see Allah and next to Allah is Muhammad. Now he's thinking, now he's applying his mind. Allah, I know Allah. But who is Muhammad? Allah has placed Muhammad next to Allah's name. So, having this Muhammad's name next to Allah's name signifies that Muhammad is someone close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understood me? So therefore he applies this method, ki Allah, we ask you for the sake of Muhammad whose name is next to your name. For his sake grant us forgiveness. Allah responded, maaf kar diya. Chala. Then he asked, Allah says, Ya Adam, how did you learn about Muhammad? Allah doesn't know. Quraji, so why is he asking? Don't we ask little children questions? We know the answer, yes or no? Then why do we ask? We'd like to hear them say the answer. We'd like to hear the answer from the beautiful mouth, yes or no? Allah wants Adam to speak. So Allah says, Adam, this is what I recall today. And that's how through your mercy I managed to understand. You thought correctly. Then Adam says, Ya Allah, who is Muhammad? What is Muhammad? Allah replies, Ya Adam, had I not created Muhammad, I would not have created you. Had I not created Muhammad, I would not have created the entire universe. There's a lot of detail here. I don't want to go there. What is significant for us right now is 2 points. Adam alayhi salam made a mistake. Tick. Peace of mind gone. Husband and wife separated for many, many, many years. It was only Allah's mercy that brought them back together, and the peace of mind that they lost for all this time was once again restored when they begged Allah for His mercy. Allah said, "No." You think Adam alayhi salam after ever suffered any kind of grief? Chapter close. Okay. Next point we learn, Allah is saying this holy month, these four sacred months, do not engage in any kind of oppression. And we learned now oppression means what? Don't do wrong. Do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the other question is for the not so bright one. That means out of these 4 months we can do what we like. Put that on hold. In Quran Allah says, Al-Hajju ashrum ma'lumat, faman farada fihinna al-hajja fala, rafatha wala, fusuqa wala, jidala fil hajj. The months of hajj are well known. When you start performing the hajj, avoid three things. Rafas, indecency. Disobedience to Allah, sin. Any kind of fighting, arguing, wrangling. Now again the question. Oh, so that means now, out of this hajj condition, I can do it. Can you commit indecency out of? No. Allah is saying all three are not permissible any time. But in this state of ihram, you must take greater care. Look at your condition, look at your status, look at what action you are involved in and where you are. So similarly Allah is saying, okay, take these 4 months which Allah is talking about, take greater care. Now the question we never answer up to now, Mr. Parakan, what is that? What are those? Quickly. What are these? Come on, man. What are those? 4 months. Okay, I didn't answer the question, so answer is simple. Allah Nabi describes, again, one more time. Quran is the text and Hadith is the explanation. Allah didn't say, Allah said 4 months, khalas. Our Nabi is telling us, those 4 months are the following. Number one, Dhul-Qa'dah. Number two, I can't hear you, Dhul-Hijjah. Number three, am I in the Kabristan, boy? Come on, man. Number three, Muharram, mashallah. So what's number four? Rajab, mashallah, Salim Bayid knows. Aslam, what is Salim Bayid? Okay. Now, leave that Rajab one side and let's come here now. Again, the nice question comes now. Hey, very strange, eh? Allah put Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram together, one after the other. Now, what is the significance? Farak, ever thought about it, Farak? Okay. All of us know, through Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Hajj that we're performing right now, the entire program, A to Z, every action, from the start of the Ihram and the Labbaik until the end, the entire 5 or 6 day program. Who is the man that brought that before us as a practical activity of Hajj? Oh, Ibrahim alayhi salam. How do we know that? Go to Quran again. After the Kaaba was complete, no detail now, one part only. When the Kaaba was ready, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Wa arina manasikana." Allah, the Kaaba is now ready. What must we do here regarding this structure? Allah sent Jibreel down. Jibreel, now take Ibrahim alayhi salam on a conductor tour of the entire 5 day program, Ihram and the works. And then we'll see. If you go in history, you'll see Ismail alayhi salam and the entire progeny thereafter. All, we call them the Arab community. Each and every one followed that same 5-6 day program. Including what we know as Umrah. Hajj we know is the 5 or 6 day program, 8 Dhul-Hijjah and so on. But the rest of the year, if somebody happens to come to Makkah, whatever the reason, then we know the program is called Umrah. This was also taught. So the pre-Islamic Arab community, they made the Hajj 5-6 days and they also performed Umrah exactly like this. Along the way they went a bit off. What I find very interesting, Doc, this is for you. Y'all don't listen, Doc for you. You know, one of the main actions of Hajj and Umrah is the act of Safa Marwa Sa'i. And you all know the background, Bibi Hajra. What I find very interesting is she ran for water when she was there alone with the child, whatever. And umpteen years later, Kaaba built, etc. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel down to show Ibrahim salam the whole practical aspects of Hajj, Allah also said, Jibreel, take him Safa Marwa. Husband must now follow in the, come on, wife's footsteps. Bibi Hajra, when Safa Marwa, Ibrahim will do the same. And so will the rest of the Bani Ismail. And later on, when our Nabi came in the world, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that still remained and is part and parcel of the Prophet. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the 9th of Zilijjah as the day. As the day. What mean the day? All those people who through my mercy and grace managed to get to Arafat. You are now here in Arafat and mashallah right now you're looking at roughly 3 to 4 million average. Tick. On that day you must be there by the time it's midday. But if you get late, not a problem, you go till tomorrow morning, Sadi. Any time in between this period, if you manage to get yourself here in the state of Ihram, and you turn to me like how Adam alayhi salam had turned to me. He made one mistake, he was repentant, he was remorseful, he regretted what he did, and he begged me for my mercy, and I wiped out that one. Hey Bani Adam, I will do the same for you. If you also follow the same practice, what was that? Regretting, remorseful, repentant, and beg Allah, and by that time you leave Arafat, just as Adam, one mistake was gone, I will wipe out, remove from your record all traces of the evil that you have committed before Subhanallah. This is the long and the short. Thick. The other answer, question you should answer is, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed Zilqada, Zilhijjah and Muharram as among the sacred months and no wrong must be done here. And the wrong also included the use of weapon. Don't draw your swords. No fighting with each other. And what about armed robbery? Barak, that's halal. And I'm just, you know, throwing one ball here. If put your weapons away for the next 3 months from the first till the last day of Muharram, don't touch your weapon. Whether legally or whether, what's the other word? Illegally. You know what it did? Go back again now. Look, right now we South Africans, right? When did the Hajis leave for Makkah or Medina? When did they leave? From 2 weeks. Yes or no? Mashallah, Allah make it easy for them, right? From 2 weeks. They're going from Zilqada, yes or no? Go back yesteryears. People came from different parts. It would sometime take them a whole month to travel from home to reach Makkah Muazzama. What month is that? Zulqada. Zilhijjah, now they are in Makkah. Subhanallah. Then they stick around, finish the Hajj, half Zilhijjah gone. They spend a few more days, and then where they're moving for? Quickly. Medina Munawwara. We know they spend at least 10 days because Allah then we advise those who perform, how many salah? I forgot. Those who perform 40 salah in my masjid. Allah will free them from 3 things. What is that? Number 1, hypocrisy. Number 2, punishment from Jahannam. Punishment and the Jahannam. Right? Now, so generally, all Hujjaj, after they come here, now they park. Now when they're leaving Medina for home, it is close to the end of Zilhijjah. Now by that time they reach home, it will be mid-Muharram or perhaps end. So there's enough time beginning and enough time ending. Depart from home and return home with complete peace and safety. No fear of Ali Baba and his 40 thieves. Hijacking them on the road, khalas abad. This is Allah's mercy and rahmat. And that's how it worked for many years. Of course, there were some other Ali Babas in between that was in this place. But generally, overall, this was the condition. Nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time is running out. I need more time. Anyway, my friends, the long and the short is this holy month of Zilqada is here. We need to reflect on the most important point is avoid any kind of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only now, but throughout the year, throughout of the life, our life. Allah must give us tawfiq to follow in that regard. Last but not least, we make dua for all the hujjat that are leaving, that have left. Allah make the journey a safe one. Allah grant them hajj maqbool, hajj mabroor. Allah accept all the duas in their own favor, in the family's favor, on behalf of the ummah as well. And also very important, while they're away, they will be concerned about the safety of their family, etc. We say, Ya Allah, keep their family safe. keep our families safe in our absence as well. And keep the homes and property safe as well. There are plenty out there. Those that are close to us, not so close, but the Ummah, the Muslimah, they're suffering various kind of ailments, some very serious and some extremely serious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all shafa kamila adila. And we heard last night over the radio our famous Mufti Fayaz from, what the place is? Near Newcastle, Dunaco, yes. We heard over the radio that his wife and daughter met a serious accident and they are both in hospital serious. Allah ta'ala grant them shafa kamila adila. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters who are listening over the receivers, make dua ka Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us iman ki salamati, safety of iman, give us maut with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us with iman day of qiyamah. May Allah bless me, bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.